We pray, Lord, may the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You know, I enjoy getting to get my Weber grill out, charcoal, of course, and do a little cooking here and there. Now, it takes a long time to prep and to make all that happen, so I don't get a lot of chances to do this throughout the year. But on occasions when I do, I enjoy it. But there are times where sometimes it is really frustrating to grill vegetables and hamburgers and hot dogs and chicken wings and all kinds of other food. Because when you're grilling some of these things, you have to reposition the food at times. You got to pick up the food and reposition it maybe from the cool side to the hot side of the grill. And that is when the thing that is so frustrating happens. Some of that food will fall into the fire. The veggies or the hamburger or whatever. And you're like, no, that's what you had planned for that day. You can't have any less food. And it's at this moment you find yourself in a quandary. Do you try to get down there and get that food? Or do you just allow it to morph into another piece of charcoal? Answer? You do your best to go and get that food, rescue it, so it can be sent into your mouth at a later time. A much better place than the pit of the pit. Now, this is a situation that when it happens, you have to react quickly. You don't have any time to waste. You have to respond. Time is of the essence. If you want to save this food, you have to react. And at the same time, you have to guard against personal injury, because even in the cool side of the grill can burn your skin off. You want to snatch the food out of the fire. You want to keep it, yet you also want to keep from being burned as well. And maybe you're not much of a grilling person, and so you need a different perspective. Well, have you ever heard of the 5-second rule? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? So you have like a treat, like a piece of candy or a cookie or something in your hand, and what happens? All of a sudden, for some reason, you fumble it and it lands on the floor. And again, you have to think, am I going to pick that up and eat it? Or is it just a lost cause? If you need some help trying to figure out what this scenario looks like, let's watch a video. I live to tell about it. It was fine. Nothing wrong with eating anything off the ground for the most part, right? Unless your parents tell you not to, then it's bad. Don't do it. Don't do it. So, I don't have a pacemaker. Is anybody else? I don't know what's happening. Oh, we lost power or something. Oh, that's all right. We'll keep going. So, have you ever been there? Like, where you've dropped food like that? Like, you got to snatch it up. And here's what we're talking about today. As followers of Jesus, Jesus has done that for you and me. He snatched us up. Like if we were out of the fire, and that's what these texts are saying. Snatch them up who are out of the fire. But we're going to talk about something else as we're looking at Jude. And notice it says Jude 17 through 25. It's just one chapter. That's why we don't say Jude chapter 1, verse 17 through 25. Jude is a small book, but there's a lot packed in it. And if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, open them up. If you got them on your devices, check it out there too. But we are going to start in verse chapter 1. I want to show you something in chapter 1, even though it wasn't in the text. I have creative liberty to do this. Okay, so chapter verse 1 here. It says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. Called, beloved, and kept. So who is Jude writing to? Those who are followers of Jesus. Those who are called, beloved, and kept. Have you ever really thought about these titles? When have you ever really stopped to meditate on the truth that the God of the universe has names for you? Son, daughter, called, beloved, kept. That he really loves you with a love that's infinite. It's perfect. It's everlasting. It's unconditional. That's how Jesus sees you. That's how God the Father sees you, because of Jesus, his Son, who lived, died, and rose for you. This is a great truth which we should meditate on a lot, especially in those moments of life that you and I have where we maybe don't feel so loved. We don't feel so valuable. Regardless of what our feelings tell us, Jesus is saying you are loved. You are valuable. You do matter. You're called. You're beloved. You're kept. You're a CBK forever, no matter what your feelings may say to you. And so as we look at Jude here, we see, as the Lutheran Study Bible says so well, this text helps us distinguish between false teachers and wounded believers who are struggling with doubt and just need fellow followers of Jesus to come alongside them and breathe life into them, bring them encouragement and hope through God's word. And so if we're talking about false teachers, Jude gives us a blueprint how to respond and how to combat against this. And how do we respond when there are false teachers all over the place, not just in the world, but sometimes in the church too? Well, first, if you have, I'm giving you a couple of notes here. If you want to write on your bulletin somewhere, feel free. First, we're to remember the words of the apostles who wrote down much of the New Testament. They predicted false teaching would occur. And it's bound to happen. Why? Because the church does not contain perfect people. We all are sinful. And so there's going to be times when false teaching is going to creep into the church. It's a reality. And due to us at times being sinful, there's times we're going to have our own agendas that we want to push, or things that we want to get across, which at times could be things that are contrary to what God's word actually says. We can do this if we're not careful. You can take many passages of the Bible, you or me, and we can make those passages of the Bible say what we want them to say. It's kind of like statistics. Two different people can use the same statistic to support their side. Now, this usually means that one of them is utilizing that statistic in a way that is not intended. And it's kind of, that's what we do with God's word too. We may utilize that passage in a way that it was not intended, but that's what we do. And so we just need to be aware that sometimes there's false teaching. Sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's unintentional. But it does and can happen. So what do we do to combat it? Well, Jude gives us this outline. He says, build up through the word of God and pray. So verse 20 says this of Jude. He says, but you, beloved, and there's that word beloved again, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. So how do we know when there's false teachers present? Well, you don't if you're not in God's word. We don't learn God's word by osmosis. No, when I was a kid, like there was a Garfield poster, learning by osmosis, and he had the book on his head. That's not how it works. That's just not, we got to be in the book to know what is false and what is true. And so we have to be in God's word. So we utilize the gift of God's word to help us decipher what is false and what is real, what is true. Also, we utilize the gift of prayer. Prayer is a direct communication between us and God. It's a beautiful, beautiful gift where we can just say and just be honest to God what we're struggling with, what we're dealing with, what we're questioning Him on. And then that's a form of communication. And then we can just sit and be quiet and be still and see if He responds to us. So, also, when you're looking at God's Word and you're studying it, the reason this is so important is because we desire for you to be able to go, you know what, that is false and that is real, but you can't do it without being in God's Word. That's why Pastor Rich and I, at the beginning of the year, are always saying, like, get in God's Word. And throughout the year, we're saying, get in God's Word. Study it. And hey, don't beat yourself up if you're in year two of your one-year study devotion time here. Because maybe you've been chewing on some passages. Like you're like, I've got to look at that more. That's okay. That's okay. We just want you to be in God's Word. That's the most important thing, to be diving into it. And one way of study is you can compare different translations and what other translations say about the same verse. And so today I want to show you real quickly the Message translation of the Bible, because other translations of the Bible help you to kind of see what others are saying, how they're saying the same thing, and it can lead us to a deeper understanding of what Jesus through the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us. So here's what the Message says about Jude 20 and 21. But you, dear friends, carefully build yourselves up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit, staying right at the center of God's love, keeping your arms open and outstretched, ready for the mercy of our Master Jesus Christ. This is the unending life. This is the real life. I love how it says you stay right in the center of God's will or God's love. You can't stay in the center of God's love if you don't know how God loves you because you're not in the Word of God. So you got to be in God's Word. And then He gives you the unending life, the real life. What it's saying is eternal life, because He lived, died, and rose for you and me. So we keep ourselves in the love of God is the third point. Jude exhorts us to live a life of dependence on God and to focus on God's love, to dwell on it, to delight on it, in it, to dwell and draw on it, to be cheered on by it. See, a person who's full of God's love will not be vulnerable to a false teacher's sales pitch. You know why? Because they'll know what Jesus actually says. They'll know what Jesus is actually trying to say. And we got to know what Jesus is trying to say, because the world loves to just tell us what truth is, but it's rarely actually what Jesus says truth is. Just watch the news. It doesn't matter what station you're on. You'd be on CNN, MSNBC, be on Newsmax or Fox. Can you really truly decipher what the truth is in news a lot of times? It's really hard. What I've discovered, and I struggle with this, is I have to go and I have to research whatever story I'm looking at deeper to actually figure out what's really happening. Because if you listen here or you listen here, you're going, what is truth? What is actually being said? What is real? A lady by the name of Lisa Turkhurst, I was reading her book yesterday, and she said news, as she was describing a cancer diagnosis that she received, she said, the doctor came in and gave me the news. And the news was, you have cancer. And this is the type, and this is maybe the treatment you have to take, and so on and so forth. But she said the truth in that, the truth was that even though I have cancer, Jesus loves me, and he's with me, and he's in the battle with me, and he's for me, and I'm his child. And here's the thing you need to know, the difference between news and truth, is that truth transcends the news. The truth of Jesus transcends any news you will ever hear about anything else in the world. And we have the truth right here. And as Lutheran Christians, we also can look at things like Luther's Small Catechism, that if you want to see what's going on in the world and what Jesus has to say about it, you can look in the catechism where it spells it out. The Word of God, believe it or not, talks a lot about whatever issues we're dealing with in the world. You just have to find it. And we have a great blessing of a catechism that where we can open that up and we can see what God's Word has to say about this hot topic or this hot topic or this hot topic. And it's all right there for you and me to be able to decipher what the truth is. And so Jude's saying, keep yourselves in the truth, in the love of God. And then verse 22 and 23 in the ESV version, English Standard Version, says this: have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear. And so this is going from false teachers to those who just need the love of Christ. They need to be told about Jesus as Lord and Savior. And Jude says, snatch them out as if, like, we've got those veggies or that food in the grill, snatch it out. Or that food on the ground, snatch it out. Why? Because we want people to know the hope and joy of Jesus. We want people to know that they're beloved and that they matter, that Jesus lived, died, and rose for them. And so we have this gift of grace and forgiveness that Jesus has given us, and we also have the gift as followers of Christ, who Jude's also speaking to be told, like, you know Jesus is Savior. Now make sure it's really hard for anybody else to go to hell too. Snatch them up out of the fire. Grab them off the ground. And that's, you know why we have that example? Because Jesus did it for you and me. He snatched us literally out of the fire because we were destined for hell. And Jesus said, I'm going to live, die, and rise for them so that they go to heaven. They have eternal life. They have the good life with me forever. And so whether it was a 5-second rule or 5-year rule or 50-year rule, Jesus grabbed us and maybe there was muck and mire all over us. And he cleaned us off through his Holy Spirit, breathing life into us through the gift of baptism like we witness today. That's Jesus picking Brooks up and saying, you're forgiven, you're my child, you're loved. And he does it the same way today through communion, where you're going to go and he's going to give you bread and wine and he's going to say, I'm picking you up. I'm blowing you off. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You're forgiven and you're loved and you're renewed and you're restored. And he did that on the cross, friends, for you and me. He snatched us up out of the fire. So you got a job. You and I get to play a role as we connect, grow, and serve. As this church, this body of Christ, we are all about connecting, growing, and serving. Connecting people to Jesus, growing faith in Jesus, and serving in the name of Jesus. And then the hope is that is a cyclical thing, that as we serve in the name of Jesus, then we get to connect people who we're serving in Jesus as well. And it just goes and goes and goes. That's our role, friends. We are beloved. We're redeemed. Let's tell other people about it. Amen? Amen. Please rise.